Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we'd thank you tonight that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You care about every single human being on this planet. You see every need, you see every problem, you see every injustice, you see every hurt, you see every pain. You see the human carnage on our planet, and it burdens your soul. It weighs upon you, Lord, in your compassion for this world. And Father, we just ask you that you would move in us as a church, that you'd make us a people who have a compassionate heart, that the things of God would weigh on us, that your heart would be our heart, and that we'd reach out into the world we live and show the love of Jesus Christ, the compassion of Jesus Christ, that we'd be a church known for our good works, that we'd be a people known for our good deeds, that we'd care for other people. Heavenly Father, we just ask you tonight that you'd reveal to us this profound truth of how we are to tap into God and the tremendous difference it makes in our life. I know, Lord, there are many here this evening, many, if not every single one, sincerely striving to live for Jesus Christ, sincerely striving to honor God. And yet there are many, Lord, not every person, but many, who find that they're just lacking the power and the strength to do what they desire to do. They feel like they're walking through thick mud. And for whatever reason, for them, the Christian life seems drudgery, difficult, hard, arduous, wearisome. Father, I pray today you'd breathe fresh life into our soul. You'd breathe fresh life into our walk with God. And you'd bring us to an understanding and realization of the birthright that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you again, Lord, for the tremendous generosity of the people of God in these five churches. I'm so grateful, Lord, there have been countless hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world that have come to know Jesus Christ because of this church's efforts. And we praise you for that. Now open the eyes of our heart tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I have so many things that I want to share tonight, but as always, I have limited time. So this is going to be a series for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, five. We'll see how long it goes, but there's a lot to cover in this series. First thing I wanted to say is that Fonzie doesn't look anything like me. I'm a lot cooler than Fonzie, and whoever did that, I'm going to get him for that. All you've got to do is go on, look at a picture of Fonzie, realize he has a coat not like mine at all, and he wishes he was in as good a shape as I am. Henry's just a little older than I am. Oh, Henry, he's doing retirement commercials now, somebody told me. I guess that'll be my future someday, right, Todd? Retirement, right. Anyway, I wanted to also say, Carl knocked it out of the park last week. I heard it was just tremendous. I knew it would be, and I'm looking forward to more that he has to share on parenting essentials. He asked for a little break because he had a number of things going on this week, but we'll be doing that this summer as well. And then I want to let you know this fall, I'm not going to tell you everything now, but some of the things Jeremy mentioned, there are two very significant compassion projects that we're going to be involved in, want to be involved in as a church. You know, the Bible tells us to devote ourselves to good works. I was reflecting on a verse today. You know, there are many Bible secrets. I don't know if you know this. There are many Bible secrets as to strength and joy, but one of them is this. Joy fills the hearts of those planning good. People who are devoted to doing good things for other people are happy people. Did you know that? It's one of the Bible's secrets to joy in our life. When we extend ourselves to others, when we give, when we lay our life down for other people, joy comes back to us. But anyway, tonight what I want to get into is tapping into God. And I want to start this evening by just reading this to you. Some of you saw it on Facebook, and some of you got it in the Rock announcement or in your house church list, but many of you were not on that, so I just want to read you what this is about. Many Christians find themselves struggling to live the Christian life. They try sincerely trying to do the right things. They sincerely try to please God, but they find themselves burdened. They feel a weight and a strain as they seek to follow Christ. They feel as though they're constantly walking through thick mud, trudging along the Christian road. What if there was a way to change this reality? What if there is truly something you're missing in your Christian experience? What if there really was a way to tap into a greater power than you've been experiencing in your present reality? Many Christians are trying to live for God, but without genuine moment-by-moment faith in God. Without really engaging and experiencing the power of Christ in their living, the Christian life was not meant to be wearisome and burdensome. Tonight, we're going to start this series. It's entitled, Tapping into God by Faith. Now, I haven't talked about this for a while, and some of you may think, I'll warn you. You may think, Jiminy, Mark sounds a little Pentecostal tonight, or charismatic, or whatever word you want to use. Well, I am and I'm not. People have asked me, Mark, do you believe in the power of Spirit? Of course I do. Oh my gosh, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not a Christian. Do I believe the gifts in the Spirit? Of course I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Do I believe God's alive today and working? Of course I do. Do I believe there are some things that God's not doing in the same way as he did in the book of Acts? Yes. But does God still want rivers of living water flowing from his people? Does God still want you to experience the life and the power of Jesus Christ and the joy of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to read tonight starting from a passage in 1 John. Very interesting passage. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves God's children as well. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And really, that isn't difficult. Wait. Is that really in the Bible? Have you ever thought about that verse lately? For every child, loving God means keeping his commandments, and really, that isn't difficult. Wow! Some of you may be thinking, that's not my reality. I find the Christian life extremely difficult. Yeah, maybe it was a mistake. Maybe John wrote this wrong. For every child of God defeats this evil world by trusting Christ to give the victory. And the ones who win this battle against the world are the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This is a profound text of Scripture. There's a lot in this, and we're going to go through a number of passages that I'll read very quickly tonight, but I want to show you something before I go back to this text. So, first of all, I want to tell any of you how you can do this sometime. If you want to go, I'd like to kind of build on what Mark spoke about. So go to BibleGateway.com. There's a search box at the top. Enter the word believe. Then go over to the right and pick the NLT Bible. And then read every single verse in the Bible that uses the word believe. There is nothing more important in your faith than believing. Everything starts with believing. It's not so much about what you know, but about what you believe about what you know. Mark chapter 9. Jesus said, "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus said, "Anything is possible if a person believes." Sometimes we just, Jesus couldn't have meant that. He just couldn't have meant that. Mark 9:24, The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And we'll get to that in a moment. Mark 11:23, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, you may be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Does Jesus care about mountains? No. It's a figure of speech. He cares about the issues of our life, the difficulties, the struggles against the world, against sin. And he's saying, anything in your life can be overcome. Will you believe that? Will you believe in God's power in your life? Mark 16:14. Still later, he appealed to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief, because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. Nothing bothered Jesus more with his disciples than their unbelief. Nothing. He regularly talked to them. Oh, you of little faith. I'm God. I'm right here. Do you not understand what I can do in your life? John 1:12. But to all who believed him, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who believed him and accepted him, you have the right to be God's child. John 6:29, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one whom he has sent. Everything else flows from that. The work of God is believe, really, truly believe. We're going to talk about that. John 7:38, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from their heart. John 20:27, he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound of my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Well, I've underlined that in my Bible to myself. Mark, believe. Don't be faithless, Mark. Believe. Believe changes everything. John 20:31, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in his name, you will have life by the power of that name. Romans 3:22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. That's incredible. Believing is what brings us all together. It doesn't matter who you are, where you were born, what's your race, what's your nationality, what's your past, what you've done. We believe. We believe. I can be made right with God through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe Christ died for us all, we also believe we have died to our old life. Do you believe that? Do you believe you've died to your old life? Dead, it's gone. Can't live a new life if you don't believe the old one's dead. Galatians 2:20. We'll get to that in a bit. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Listen to this. Be on guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. So we go back to Jesus' words. In John, every child of God defeats this evil world. Loving God means keeping his commandments. That really isn't difficult. Why? Why would he say that? Why would he say that when you and I both know there are times all of us, we struggle with things God asks us to do? Hey, listen, if we're honest, we'll just be honest here tonight. I know some of you struggle like all get out to simply get out of bed in the morning. It's like, oh, and to get my quiet time, do I gotta do it? I'm tired. And you struggle and you're like, whoa, okay, come on. If God does not have enough power and grace to help us overcome our laziness and be self-disciplined, then what in the world has he given us? Right? But it doesn't have to be that way. It sincerely, truly doesn't have to be that way. The problem, the issue, is what are we believing? And I want to help you walk through some questions later today and this week. And every child of God defeats this evil world. How? How is it we defeat this evil world? If you look around you, I look around me every day, all of us, this is an evil world. Oh my gosh, it's sickeningly evil. But we can overcome it. We can overcome it in our own life. We can overcome it in our own experience. I do not mean that I'm going to be able to make all evil disappear. God's going to do that. That's coming. But you and I, in our experience, we can defeat the evil in our lives, in our world, around us, by trusting in Christ, who gives us the victory. And we can live in that victory. We can live in that victory. You do not have, God did not destine you to a defeated life. God did not destine you to a defeated life. And the ones who win this battle, here we go again. The battle, we all have a battle. Every one of us have a battle against this world, are the ones who believe Jesus is the Son of God. Now, you see there again, we go back to believing. We win this battle. We win the battle. Now, this is important, all right? There are two kinds of salvations. This is important you understand this. There is the eternal salvation of our soul. And when we came to Christ, when we believed, see, at some point in your life, you believed, Lord, I need you. You died for my sin. You say you'll save me. And you put your trust in God's promise that he'd save you. That's what you did. And you knew you had a need. And instantaneously, you were born again. And nothing can change that. And you are eternally saved. That's never going to be an issue. That is God's work in your life. Now, there's a second salvation. And that's the salvation of experiencing now, till you die, God's saving power in your life over sin and addiction and garbage and meanness and the flesh and the world and the devil and your passions and desires. And that one is only one as you moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Christ lives in me, and I have his power, and I have his ability, and I trust that, and I step out and I act upon it. Otherwise, sincerely, you can have a very defeated life. The reality is, we think we believe things we don't really. That's really the great struggle I see. You know, I've been doing this a long time, 40 years. I've talked to thousands individually of Christians. I've spoken collectively to tens of thousands of believers. And this is always the great struggle. But we don't think it is. We think it's other things. And so we try really hard in our own strength to act Christian. We try really strong in our own power, and then we get frustrated and we get discouraged and we think this isn't working, when the real issue is our faith and our believing. I'll explain a little bit more in just a moment. This is from the book of Hebrews. Listen to this very carefully. Verse 12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. You must warn each other, encourage each other every day, as long as it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful, believing to the end, trusting God just as firmly as we did when we first believed, we will share in all the blessings of Christ. Okay, so now, some of you may say, well, there it is, Mark. See, it's not once saved, always saved. Yes, it is, because that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is coming into the experience of Christ now. And it only happens if you keep firmly believing. He's in me. He's changed me. He's won. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 8? We are more than conquerors through him who loves. Well, I don't feel like one because you don't believe it. Because you don't believe that he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all will freely give you all things. All, everything else you need, God will give it. God promises he'll work everything for good in your life. You don't have to be defeated. Now, all of us, myself included, we have to wrestle with that truth. That's what the issue is. That's why we go in and out, and myself included, in and out of times of discouragement, because I doubt the verse. Instead of fully embracing it, believing it, God, this is your promise. You're going to do this. I see my circumstances. I see what's going on and what starts to happen. For all of us, it's just like Peter. You remember Peter was walking on the water for a minute? Pretend that's salvation. It's like, wow, this is incredible. Knowing Jesus is incredible. And then what happens? We start looking around. There's a lot of crap going on around my life. There's garbage, Lord. Oh, my circumstances aren't so good. And when our circumstances aren't really good, what starts to happen? Our tummy starts to get knots and emotions start to happen. That's what happens. The waves of our life are emotions. And the waters of our soul, they start churning. And all of a sudden, our emotions are speaking really loud. And we're listening to our feelings and not God. And we're listening to our feelings and not God's promises. In other words, I'm believing lies and not believing God. I'm not trusting what he says. But when I come back to truth, for I am convinced that neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor anything in heaven or earth can ever separate me from God's love, then I live like a conqueror. I feel like a conqueror because, man, God is on my side. And God cannot be defeated. And God lives in me. And God is working everything for my good. That's the truth. That's the truth. I want you to think about this for a moment. What do you really believe? A lot of us have not evaluated this for a while. It's very important that you evaluate this. What do you really believe? Do you really believe you have the victory in Jesus Christ today? Today. Do you really believe that God is stronger than your desire for alcohol? Do you really believe that God is stronger than your desire for sex? Do you really believe that God is stronger and more satisfying? We get back to what do I believe? What do I believe? And the devil knows this. This is why he's always attacking your faith. He's always attacking your faith. Our belief, our trusting in Christ is everything. This belief brings us into the rich experience of all that belongs to Christ and all that he's given to us in our daily lives. This faith in Christ allows us to experience his power, his joy, his peace, his strength, and his satisfaction. The word believe means to accept as true, to fully trust and have absolute confidence. Let me give you a couple silly examples, okay? These are silly, I know they are, but bear with me because I'm trying to make a point. If you believe, now think about this. I just want you to think about this. You'll think, Mark uses this particular one all the time. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make sense to you. If you believe, not know. Know doesn't do anything. If you believe in your heart and your mind that exercise is really good for you and it will help you enjoy a much greater quality of life, you'll exercise in some way, and I promise you this, it's really simple. I've been doing it 30 years. It's simple. You don't need PX90 BS. You don't need to make yourself like an idiot and sweat pouring down your face and your heart's up to about 200 beats a minute. You have to do any of that. The problem is you don't believe it. I'm being really honest with you. You don't believe it. Now, I don't care. You say, well, I know it's good for me. I don't have time. No, you don't believe it. You don't believe it's really, man, this would just enrich my life. This would enrich my life. I'd be so much more vigorous and I won't go on that one. If you believed, if you really believed, some of you have money struggles. Listen to this. If you really believe frugality is the path to a richer, better life, you'll be frugal. You'll always look for ways to save money, and you'll save money. Always. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you believe that maintenance is the secret to getting the most out of your car, you'll faithfully do the things that make it last longer. It's easy. Listen, you and I know most of you already think I'm kind of a nut, so I guess, you know, I'll just be a nut. I only bought my first house 16 years ago. It just all comes down to maintenance. Owning cars just comes down to maintenance. I've owned Jiminy Christmas. I've owned so many different cars. I don't spend a lot on cars. I have a can of silicone spray. I have a garage door that probably should, most people in my neighborhood have already replaced their garage door. I haven't. You know why? Because I spray the little wheels once a month. I spray the joints where the car bends. I spray the chain, and I spray the giant spring. I go down, I pull a filter out of my AC, and I never feel burdened. I just vacuum it off. My filters last three times as long as other people's. I pour liquid plumber down all the drains about every 2 months on a Saturday morning when no one's even up in my house, and guess what? They don't plug up. It is so easy to maintain the things in your life. In fact, it brings me joy. Did you know Proverbs says the precious possession of a man is diligence? Diligence is not a pain. I enjoy diligence. Why? Because of what I believe. Because of what I believe. Because of what I believe, and because of what I've experienced. I've experienced it, man. I've been living this a long, long time. If you really believed that sin is really destructive and it'll damage your life, you'll avoid it and stay away from it. The problem is we don't believe it. We don't believe it. It's a faith issue. It's a belief issue. If you believe God hears and answers prayer, you'll be praying. And guess what? It ain't a problem. It's not a pain. Now, I've told you ways you develop your prayer life. I started years ago with 10 minutes. For me, it's just an hour every day. And then with my wife, it's 20 minutes. So an hour and 20 minutes every day praying. That's right. And guess what? I mean this. I'm not lying. It's not a burden. It's not a burden. I look forward to talking to God and laying my soul out to God because I believe God hears me. I've seen God answer, and there's lots more to do. I believe. Let me give you another silly analogy. So years ago, I've been biking for a long time. I've probably been biking longer than most anybody in this room. I think I learned to bike when I was 4. That was a long time ago. I'll never forget when I saw my first mountain bike. You got to remember that I've lived when there were no mountain bikes. You haven't. But there didn't used to be those kind of bikes. There were 3 speeds and 10 speeds, and they were clunky and they were heavy. And you know, as a kid, you always dreamed. You know, I used to make these little ramps as a kid, and I'd ride my Stingray bike over them, but your bike was clunky, and it couldn't do much, but you always wanted to ride it through the woods, and it was so much work. And then I discovered mountain bikes. Oh, my gosh. I remember the first one I tried, and I was a little tentative, but I'm telling you a secret. This is the secret. I learned to trust what the bike could do. Oh, my gosh. And I remember the first time I went to Lebanon, and I was in kind of a clunkier bike, and I wasn't too experienced. But I really liked the woods, and I liked going up and down, and I liked the challenge. But I wasn't quite sure what the bike could do. And then I started to discover how just how fast I could go, how it would grab the dirt, how I could bank off a corner, how I could hop over roots. And oh my gosh, it was exhilarating. And guess what? Mountain biking wasn't a burden. I wanted to do it more because I learned to trust what the bike could do. That's a metaphor. It's not perfect. For my Christian life, I've come to learn what God can do. And of course, I'm still discovering because he's infinite. But the more you walk with God and believe, the more you learn to trust God, the more you learn to rely on God in the arena of your life and bank on his promises and hold on to his promises, and you see him come through. Some of you, honestly, you're afraid. You're afraid. You're afraid to ask because you're afraid God's going to let you down. And you're usually afraid because you look back at something in your life and you go, well, that one didn't work so good. Well, that one didn't work out so good. Now, don't get me wrong. God sometimes may answer a prayer in a different way that you think, but I'm here to tell you, 40 years doing this, the vast majority of my prayers, God has answered exactly what I was asking. It just might not have been in the time frame of which I thought it was going to come. And the devil wants to keep you in fear, which is the opposite of faith. Again, we get back to our belief, our belief, our belief, you see. So the same is true with Jesus Christ. In Galatians 2:20, I'd like to read this verse to you. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in my earthly body, I live by trusting in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. He loves me and gave himself for me, and I trust him. That's how you live. That's how you live in this earthly body, or the Christian life will be the hardest thing you've ever tried. And it was not meant to be, wow, this is killing me. This is driving me in the ground. You know why? Because you're trying to do the right things without believing in the power that God says you have. And you're not trusting in the promises that God has given you. Here's what I'd like you to do this week. Because we're going to go into more. There's more. The Bible reveals more to this special life God has for us. I'd like you to take some time and ask yourself this question. What do I really believe? Now, here's what I mean. What are my real beliefs, the ones I go to daily? What are the beliefs that I go to every day in my mind? Where am I going? How am I really? What are the glasses with which I am looking at life? Honestly, be honest with yourself. And I think many of you are going to discover fear, lots of doubts, frustration, unbelief. But it's important that you're honest. What does my attitude and my practices reveal about my real beliefs? What do I really believe about Christ? What do you really believe about Christ? And I would take some time and just write this on a piece of paper and step back and look at it and say, what do I really believe? I know he's my Savior. I know he's the Son of God. But let's get way past that. In my day-to-day life, how am I interpreting life? How am I looking at life? What are my feelings telling me about myself? Do I have joy? Am I experiencing peace in my life? Or is my life full of all kinds of turmoil? Usually that will tell you, you just got to go look at what you're believing, what you're thinking about. All right, we're going to get into this a lot more. I've got to end tonight. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then I'd love to meet you afterwards, and we got refreshments outside, and you can go get your children. Father, we thank you tonight that you're alive, that you're active, that you're working, and you want to do so much more in each and every life. Father, I pray that we would not push this aside and think, oh, that's just one of those other messages. This is everything. The Bible says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us and cast aside the sin that so easily entangles us. That sin is only one, unbelief. The whole previous chapter is on faith. The entire chapter 11 is on faith. The sin that tangles all of us around our legs is our unbelief, which, of course, is the opposite of belief in you and the victory we have in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, I pray. Work in our lives this week and bring us into a deeper, greater experience of Jesus himself. Amen.